Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia. To a Christian, the highlight of every week is the Lord's Day. When you and I rise in the morning on a Sunday, it's an exciting thing to contemplate a gathering together to worship God, coming together to study His Word, coming together to partake of the communion, coming together to give as we have been prospered, coming together to sing songs of praises under the direction of such fine song leaders, coming together to be led in prayer by those of like precious faith. Yes, to a Christian, the highlight of every week is the first day of the week, that day called Sunday. Today is a very special day to those of us who worship at the Church of Christ located at 40th Street in Monte Vista. Today begins a series of special Bible studies that we've been looking to forward to now for over a year. Brother Roger Shouse is with us today. Brother Shouse preaches the gospel in New Albany, Indiana, and he's consented to come and to spend today through Friday studying with us those things that are important to our maturation as Christians. Brother Shouse is such a fine young man, such a talented speaker. We've had him here before. We've had very good comments concerning his knowledge and the way that he presents God's Word. And we just hope that you'll come and join us. Today, our worship service begins at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, we'll have Bible classes for all ages, and that will be followed by worship service, wherein we will do those things as authorized in the New Testament, those things mentioned at the very outset of this broadcast, and then be led in a Bible study by Brother Roger Shouse. Following that, Monday through Friday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll assemble to sit at the feet of Brother Shouse and learn more about what God would have us to know. I really hope that you can come. I really hope that we'll just have a building full of people that are excited about Jesus Christ, excited about their future, and can get away from the physical things for a little while each day and sing praises to God and just really have a good week. Again, that begins today at 2 o'clock. For those of you who are members of Monte Vista, if you're listening to this show on the way to the building, you're going to be early because, as you know, may have forgotten, the regular time of 9:30 is not when we're assembling today. We're assembling at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So I hope to see you there. Last week, we began a series of lessons concerning the roles of individuals within the marriage relationship. Our thoughts first are concerning the role of a man as a husband. Last week, we looked at the meaning of the word husband, and you might want to get a copy of that show by accessing our website at www.montevistacoc.com and going to the archives part of that site and ordering any or all of the shows that you would like, and they'll be sent to you free of charge. So last week, we saw that a husband is one who puts a band of security, one who puts a band of love and protection around the house. We started last week looking at some very specific divine instructions that God has given to a man in that relationship as a husband. First of all, we studied what the Bible had to say about the headship of that union, and we saw clearly that the Bible teaches that man is to be the head of the husband-wife team. We saw that in Genesis 3 and verse 16, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, 1 Timothy 2, verse 11, and again in verse 15, Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 24, and Colossians 3, and verse 18. After that, we saw where the Bible teaches that the man should provide for his wife. We went to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 and saw that truth taught. Also, we suggested the Bible teaches that a man should protect his wife. And that's where we stopped and run out of time in our lesson last week. So we want to begin right there. Specific instructions to the man as a husband by God Almighty is that he protect his wife. Nehemiah said to people while they were on the walls of Jerusalem rebuilding, in Nehemiah, he said, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, and your wives, your houses. You read that in Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, and verse 14. Man should be strong enough to fight for his family. I read one time a story, I suppose it's true. It was kind of funny, so perhaps it's made up. But anyway, it expresses the point. It was about a native that lived in Africa, and he was being interviewed about his home, and he said that he sleeps in the back of the tent, and the wife sleeps across the doorway. And the interviewer wanted to know why that was. And he said, well, that's so. If a wild animal attacks, I'll have time to get the spear and be ready to defend because he has to go over my wife. And I thought, well, that certainly may make sense to some, but it's not protecting your wife, not the way God wants a man to protect his wife and his family. Is this love that Christ gave for his bride in the relationship that we read about in Ephesians 5 and verse 25 the kind of love that provides protection? Certainly it is. Christ protected his bride, the church, with his very life. We must be willing to die for our wives. That has to be more than just something that we say. I remember when my daughter was in the first grade and she came home, and we tried at that time to all have dinner together most regularly so we could share one another's lives. My daughter looked at my wife and said, Mommy, I'm in love with Billy. Well, my wife just about fainted. She was raised as an only child and didn't really understand the crazy things that kids can say. So I jumped in to protect her. I'd had brothers and sisters and grew up with them saying things that were shocking. And I looked at my daughter and I said, well, now, if you love Billy, you'd quit school and you'd work for him and you'd give up your possessions for him if he needed them. You would even die for Billy if you love him. My daughter took a long and deep breath and thought for a moment and she said, well, I love Mommy and I love you, Daddy. I'm not sure about my brother and I don't love Billy. Well, that expresses a point, doesn't it? Expresses a point concerning love within the family and protection within the family. We've got to be willing to love our wives and our children, even to giving our lives, should that be necessary. The Bible teaches the man should continue to court his wife. 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter and verse 11, Romans the 15th chapter and verse 4, and Galatians 3 and verse 27, we learn that the Old Testament is given to us as a schoolmaster. It's given to us with various experiences in it and God's reaction to those experiences so that we can know the mind of God, so that we can learn from that. Well, let's learn from Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter and verse 5. There the Bible reads, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. Well, now, I don't preach, and you don't believe that everybody gets married, gets a year off work, and gets a year away from service to his country, but expresses a principle. And the principle is that when a marriage union is established, the wife, as weaker vessel, needs some courting to continue so that she can come to a comfort level so that she can get used to that new environment. Let me give you some advice that I think is pretty good advice. Continue the courtship after you're married the same way you did before. Keep your wife's love by the same means that you want it. Treat her right. Here's some questions that I want you to consider, if you would. Number one, do you dedicate as much time to your wife now as you did before you married her? Well, that's a pretty good question, I think. The bonds of matrimony are a better investment when interests are paid. Another question, do you speak the same sweet words and as often as you did before she consented to become your wife? I read one time where a man told his new bride that he told her that he said, I loved you, and I'll let you know if it changes. Well, I don't think that's going to work, and I think you'll probably get a knot on your head if you try it. Another question that you should ask yourself as a husband, is your appearance and your dress as neat and as nice and as attractive as it was when you were dating your wife? Do you shave as often? Do you take as many showers? Do you pay attention to what your breath smells like? Well, she'll appreciate it just as much now as she did then. Isn't being well kept important for both the husband and wife, or is that something that you expect your wife to participate in to the exclusion of you? Do you take her out like you did when you were courting? I don't think that we're talking about every day and every night because you're together. You can't just marry a woman and go into your cave and not provide her any outside time. Do you bring her gifts and remember special days like you did when you were dating? If you don't, why don't you? Do you call her on the phone like you used to? Do you walk with her in the same manner? Or do you hold her hand when you're walking like you did when you were courting her? Or now does she pick up the rear? I remember some friends of mine were going to an Arizona State football game with Judy and I, and the gal was probably 10 paces behind her husband, and we laughed about the fact that wouldn't have happened while they were courting. Are you as kind to your wife as you were before you married her? Do you open the doors for her? I got some news for you, husbands. The wife can open her own door. That's not talking about something that has to be done. We're talking about those small courtesies that you paid when you were dating in order to convince that woman that you wanted to live the rest of your life with her. A Chinese statesman said one time, marriages in China are like putting a kettle of cold water on a hot stove. It begins to warm up and boil and continues to stay hot. But marriages in America are like putting a kettle of boiling water on a coal stove. It begins to cool, and soon it's cold. Don't let the flame die. Keep the flame alive. Well, another divine instruction to man is to honor and be considerate of your wife. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." The wife is the weaker vessel in that she is usually smaller physically. She usually has finer features. She usually has more sensitive sensibilities. She's more delicate from an emotional nature standpoint. And husbands need to understand that and be considerate of that. Husbands honor their wives by showing sympathy and by showing understanding. They honor their wives by making them a sharer of life, of showing a tenderness and an affection, of showing an appreciation and a kindness. Recall how Ezekiel had to sit where the people sat for 7 days before prophesying to them in the third chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Husbands would be more considerate otherwise if they had to walk in their shoes for a period of time and find out what their life was like. I read about an accountant that was asked by his wife and offered to babysit for her one Saturday and let her have a day out, let her go to the mall. And when the wife returned, there was this note that her husband had written up, and he just handed it to her. It said, dried tears 9 times, tied shoes 13 times, toy balloons purchased 3 per child, average life of balloon 13 seconds, caution children not to cross the street 21 times, children cross the street 21 times, number of times I'll do this again, 0. Well, speaking of being considerate, did you hear about the wife who said to her husband at the buffet dinner, he said, honey, that's the 5th time you've gone back for more chicken. Doesn't that embarrass you? Her husband said, not at all. I just tell him that I'm getting it for you. Well, sure, these things can be amusing, but there are times when we conduct ourselves in relationship to our wife where it's embarrassing for them and they get their feelings hurt. That shouldn't be. We need to be considerate. The Bible teaches us that we need to value and appreciate our wives. In Proverbs, the 12th chapter, in verse 4, Solomon says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. In Proverbs 18, and verse 22, the Bible reads, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Again, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, and verse 14, houses and riches are an inheritance of the fathers, and a prudent wife is from God. Concerning the what oftentimes we call the virtuous and worthy woman of Proverbs 31, we read that her price is far above rubies. Chapter 31 of Proverbs, verse 10. I know, and you do if you'll stop and think, that there's usually a good wife behind an eminent man. The American Institute of Family Relations surveyed a group of happy homes. The wives were asked, why is your marriage such a success? Every single one of those wives had one listing, and that was, quote, my husband continues to express his appreciation of me. When's the last time you told your wife how much you appreciate her? Wives have got to feel like they're the most important and appreciated human beings in the lives of the husbands, or life is going to be miserable. They desire and they deserve to be valued. They desire and they deserve to be considered and appreciated as individuals. There's a note that I read about that. It says, quote, there's a special vitamin that the wife needs for her well-being. Even in Christian homes, this is sometimes lacking. A man works and earns money. His salary check and his employer's commendation are a recognition of his worth. A housewife has no such criterion, yet she too needs appreciation and motivation. Many husbands don't realize the depth of that need. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about recognition and appreciation of what your wife is worth to you. Not so much things that you buy. Using women as sex objects or maids or just mothers of children is not to appreciate the woman and not to be concerned over the happiness of your wife. When wives are not valued and appreciated, one of two things is going to happen. One, they have emotionally induced illnesses, or two, they'll become radical feminists and they'll fight everything that you do. I want you to understand that this is not information coming from man. This is information coming from God. And that appreciation that we're talking about has to be overtly expressed, whether that's gifts or words or flowers or whatever. It's got to be overtly expressed. Will Rogers one time accepted an invitation to a Hollywood party, and it was addressed to Mr. Will Rogers. Well, he went and he entertained by the way that he only could do it, and then he sent a bill. And the hostess called and said, you were invited as a guest, not as an entertainer. Why did you send me a bill? And Rogers responded, when Mrs. Rogers is not invited, I go to work, and I expect to be paid. Mr. Rogers was appreciated for that. He was appreciated by his wife. He was honored by his wife. He also expressed that love openly throughout the time that they were married. Well, we need to be sweet and tender to our wives. In Colossians 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Love your wives and be not bitter against them." If you'll stay sweet with your wife, you'll seldom be in a pickle. Husbands should fight for their wives, not with them. If a husband and wife will not quarrel when they're in public, well, that's a good sign that it's not a very good thing to quarrel and fight when you're together. Discussion, not fighting. When a husband gives his wife a piece of his mind, he destroys his own peace of mind. That's not to suggest that there's going to be total agreement on every point. There's not going to be. And if you think there is, you haven't been married for very long or you're deaf. Eber wrote, quote, "The concept of two people living together for 25 years without having a cross word suggests a lack of spirit only to be admired in sheep," unquote. The important thing is to keep open the lines of communication, to treat her the way that you would like to be treated. Remember that wives are complicated and complex pieces of machinery. They demand the best of care. It's not the revolutions that wear out the machine, it's the friction that wears it out. Keep your relationship with your wife well-oiled, with kindness and tenderness. Treat your wife like a thoroughbred. She'll not turn out to be a nag. I want you to listen to a letter that was sent to Abby one time. "Dear Abby, my heart doesn't yearn for wall-to-wall carpeting and fancy clothes, but oh, Abby, how I would love to have my husband bring home some foolish little gift on some unspecial day. He's not a thoughtless guy. If he'd only do this little thing to let me know how special I am to him, as he is to me, I'd be the happiest woman in the world." You know, when women have to hint for that kind of thing, it's just not as good as when you take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and start treating your wife like that. Wives are more sentimental than husbands. They place more importance on little things. They're different. How about remembering the "I love yous"? How about remembering the wink across the table? How about remembering the placing of your hand on hers? I've got some information for you. You can be macho and tender at the same time. Well, those are instructions that will help us as men who are trying to live as God would have us to live within the relationship of marriage. Happy homes are a gift of God. There's very little trouble in life that's worse than trouble with your marriage. Avoid it. Learn from the experiences of others and treat your wife well, and just see how strong and long-lasting you can make your marriage. Well, next week, Lord willing, we'll look at what the Bible has to say about a woman in the role as a wife. There are some very specific divine instructions in that area or arena also. Like we said when we began our lesson today, we hope that you'll come and share with us the Bible study that begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Monta Vista Church of Christ. We hope that you'll come and share with us the insight that Brother Roger Shouse has into the Word of God, that you'll share with us his love and his delivery of that Word of God, that we might grow to be a better people, that we might let our light shine among men, that when we walk out into the world of darkness, that we can show somebody Jesus Christ and his reflection off of our lives and how we live them. Well, that's it for this week. I'm glad that you listened. I hope that you'll come and join us at the Monta Vista Church of Christ, 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monta Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.